You're in tune to the Voice of the Valley, KROX in Crookston, Minnesota, 1260 AM and 105.7 FM, as well as 92.1 FM in Grand Forks and East Grand Forks. It is just past 10:40 on this Friday, June 30th, which means it's time for Valley Talk. And today's edition of Valley Talk, I've got a couple of very special guests, and I'm going to let them introduce themselves today.
Thanks for that. It's calling a special guest. Thank you. No, we are excited to be here. My name is Leah Wingem, and I work at Trinity Lutheran Church as the Director of Children, Youth, and Family Ministries.
Nice.
Yes, and my name is Jane Freeman, and I'm the Executive Director at Care and Share of Crookston, the homeless shelter we have here in Crookston. And thank you for having us.
Yeah, it's good to have you back on, Jane. You were just on a couple weeks ago, and now we've got Leah here, and for the people who don't know, why don't you let them know kind of what the Hope Center is kind of all about?
Sure, I'll be glad to. Can I put a little blurb in on a mistake I made last time?
Of course, of course.
Oh, thank you. We were here, and I'm pretty sure I said we have a Target wish list on our website. We actually have an Amazon wish list on our website, and I like Target and Amazon. I'm not negative about either of them. I just managed to get mixed up, so please look for that.
It kind of makes sense because Amazon is more of like a delivery. Because I was like, wow, I didn't know Target really did delivery stuff.
Probably not. But so, now we know.
But yes, Amazon is the one that does.
Yeah.
Gift stuff, so
oh well. You know, things happen. Anyway, back to the Hope Center. You know, Care and Share started in the 80s, but it wasn't until 1990 that Care and Share got the rectory building that is next to the Care and Share larger school building. And they officially named it the Hope Center in 1991. And the whole purpose behind it was to have a place, a safe place, where families who are homeless can stay. You know, in the Care and Share big building, we have the dormitories for the single men and the single women, and we have our offices in there, but we have that extra separate building for the families that we consider to be really important. You know, families, homeless families have a lot of barriers and a lot of things that get in their way, things that are difficult for them. And so, you know, I think I've talked a little bit about Care and Share. You know, the people come in, we help them get IDs, we help them with their paperwork, we help them with their housing paperwork, we do all of that. Well, we do the very same thing for families. Mm-hmm. Only it's kind of multiplied because the families will have children. Mm-hmm. So then we have to take the children into consideration. And one of our big, big things is we immediately have a release of information signed with the school system here in Crookston, because we want to be very, very certain that these children are attending school as they're supposed to. One of the biggest setbacks for children who are homeless is in their schooling. And so we want to do whatever we can to minimize that. And, you know, another thing about being a family that's homeless is it's a little bit more difficult to find a place to live. I mean, you have parents or a parent, but then you have the children. So you have at least two bedrooms you're looking at. But if you have children of the two genders, then you're looking at two bedrooms. And so you have, you know, things that you have to follow, regulations you have to follow for getting assistance for your housing. And that's one of them. So it's just a little bit harder for these families. So when the families come to Care and Share at the Hope Center, they tend to stay a little longer, maybe, than some of the single people, too, just because they have these barriers. So that kind of leads us into the whole thought of, if you have to come to the Hope Center as a family, listen, those rooms are not big rooms. We have three rooms that are one room, three rooms that are two rooms. We squish families in there because they're desperate. Okay, but that doesn't mean it needs to be ugly. So, Leah, I'm turning it over to you.
Yeah. No, and the reason why we wanted to visit with you, we did come on, a few months ago, when we were kind of in the midst of this project, the Adopt-A-Room for the Hope Center. And I just wanted, I know there's been a lot of movement since the last time that we came on, and so we just wanted to share some of the progress that's been happening. So just to give people a little bit of the history of what came to be with this project, it kind of came about during COVID. There was a case worker at the time at CareInsure, Liz Rowan, reached out to me at Trinity and just said, hey, we are looking to do like a deep cleaning. Could we get a crew in? And we had people come out in the masses from different churches to come, not just Trinity, to do this project. And from that day, Liz said, you know, I have just this vision, this dream of renovating the individual rooms, you know, providing that space that is warm and welcoming for these families when they're in this time of transition and some challenges, and they just deserve that warm place to stay. And so yeah, and so that's how it started. And then, you know, she reached out and said, do you think this would be possible? Well, I'll give credit to our pastor, Pastor Greg Isaacson, who said, this definitely can't be Trinity alone. Like, this is something that we need to reach out to other churches. And so, and it began during COVID, but because of COVID, there was restrictions that came up. It mm-hmm. got delayed. Things got changed. And then this year, the fall of 2022, we were able to officially start. And so, and since then, we've recruited, it's not only Trinity, but the six churches that each have a space that they are caring for and renovating and doing all sorts of work. Is we've got Trinity, we've got Our Lady of Sorrows Catholic Church, Our Savior's Church, Nexus Church, Harvest Church, and Cathedral Church, all involved, each having a space and renovating it.
Yeah, I think that's just an awesome thing. Like you said, you know, the sometimes with, you know, the homelessness and poverty, sometimes it's tough to get out of that mindset, you know, mm-hmm. if you're living in kind of a drab space, you know, you're constantly down and depressed, and that's not going to help. So making more of a welcoming space for people to live in mm-hmm. is definitely, I think, a very noble thing, and I think is going to be a very helpful thing to the people who will need these facilities.
Yeah.
Well, I can attest that when the families see the rooms, they can smile. They aren't going mm-hmm. into something that's like, oh no. They're going into something that goes, oh, this isn't so bad. It's mm-hmm. actually kind of nice. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you're in that trauma of going into a homeless shelter as a family, that makes a difference. Mm-hmm. It makes a big difference in how you feel about yourself, how you feel about your attitude, how you feel about the community you're in, mm-hmm. How you feel about CareInsure and what we're going to do for you. And it inspires more cooperation, I think, just all the way around. Mm-hmm. So I'm really happy with how that's worked out for us. I think another thing, if you don't mind, I mean, one of the cool things, Leah, is that because it's separate churches doing separate units, they're all different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I haven't, you know, I haven't been in since again, each individual, the idea is that each church has their own space and they have their own core group of people that this is their gift and this is the way they want to serve. And man, people have really stepped up and made these spaces really special. I haven't seen them in person, but we have a text thread where we're commuting. And that's, I should share, that's kind of my role. Like, my gift is definitely not home renovation. It is not home decor. My gift is, you know, rallying people and getting people excited and communicating and connecting people. And so, and Jane has so much that she does with the CareInsure and with the Hope Center. So we work together and I try to lighten the load. So she actually gave me a title that I didn't even know I had. She called me the communications coordinator for this project, which I proudly hold that. And I really enjoy because so she'll share with me and then I'm kind of that connector to the leads of each of these churches, letting them know if there's a new family coming in, if it's a time where they can get in there and do some more work, you know, if it's time they can just do a little bit or a lot of work, depending on. And so I get to see the excitement that they have with each progress that they have through pictures and hear of their next steps. And again, from the pictures, each room is really like from the flooring to the paint to the decor to the bedding.
That's exactly what I was going to ask you next about. Like, what were some of the renovations that you did for this Hope Center project?
Yes, and flooring and painting were the were the biggest things that needed to be done. And when I say painting, you know, when you paint a wall, you just don't go paint it. You have to go fill it in. You have to take care of it, straighten it up, all of that. So flooring and painting, Hardware Hank, Jason at Hardware Hank gave us a lot of paint, and we were very, very grateful for that and have used it. So, and then the church groups found within them ways to get the flooring. But virtually every room needed flooring and painting before you did anything else with it. So thank goodness that that part is mostly done for most of the rooms. Mm-hmm. And then I think it'll be easier from now on just to keep it updated because, again, the organization is once a room empties out, I contact Leah. She lets that church know, and then they come back in and refresh.
Yep. Yeah. No, and Jane brought up some really important things there, and she mentioned what a community thing this is, you know, and not only is it a beautiful thing when the churches collaborate together, but I mean, we've, like she said, Hardware Hank, Jason Klinert there stepped up and said, I've got this paint and I'm willing to tint it for you and work with you and you can have it on hand. You know, we've had people provide the carpet. We've had, I mean, when people hear about this project, they know they have items, you know, people that have, you know, chairs in their home or things to put on the wall. You know, we're not looking to go out and spend thousands of dollars on brand new things. People have nice things that are, you know, can be used. And so, again, the outpouring of people donating items has been huge. And another item that we haven't brought up yet was the welcome baskets. And that's another thing where, you know, people that maybe weren't actively hands-on doing the project, they still were able to provide something. So we did a drive earlier this year, and I know the other churches are doing this too. And so that when the family comes in, they get a welcome basket, and those have some basic essentials, paper products, towels, personal hygiene items, you know, diapers if there's children. Mm-hmm. So something to give them that good jump start of some of those basic necessities that can help alleviate some of that stress.
And that's just another way to make this, you know, Hope Center feel more welcoming and make them feel like they've got a nice place to stay and that they will, that their needs will be met, and you're going to help with that. So that's another great thing.
And then the one other thing that is really kind of touches people's heart is that if the families who are in there really get attached to some of the decor or to the maybe the quilts or things like that, they are able to take them into their new homes when they move their new homes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we aren't going overboard and spending tons and tons of money. That's not the point. But it's decent. It's nice. Mm-hmm. It's comfortable. It's attractive stuff. And if they feel like they want to take it into their own homes, then they bring a little bit of the Hope Center with them to their own homes. And, the welcome that they receive from the community can go with them.
Kind of a reminder of how they were treated, and obviously
some
it
support.
Seems like they're treated very, very well. So
that
might give them some comfort if they ever feel like they're going back into kind of more of a depressive rut or something like that. That's definitely
they can wrap up in
thing.
A quilt.
Yeah, of course.
Yes.
From the Hope Center and feel the love.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well, so we've got about 5 minutes left here. Was there any other things that you kind of wanted to talk about before we wrap up the show?
I guess just as a reminder, this isn't just a project. Yes, the rooms are getting to the point where they are set and there's that good foundation and that's a good set. But, you know, as Jane shared, this is an ongoing thing. This is not something that like, okay, we did it. Now we're done. Mm-hmm. All these people that stepped up and said we want to be a part of it knew that this isn't just we're getting it ready. They know that now when a family transitions that they're going to be contacted to go in, see if there needs to be any repairs, see if there needs to be anything replaced. I think a great word is refresh.
Yes.
That's a great word. Mm-hmm. And so, we will be continuing to need those different items. They'll need to be repainted. And so I guess if anyone is listening and this is an area that's, you know, spirits nudging you in any way that you'd want to be a part of this, you definitely reach out to me at Trinity, and I can link you. You know, we mentioned the churches that are actively involved: Trinity, Our Lady of Sorrows, Our Saviors, Nexus, Harvest, and Cathedral. But that doesn't mean if you don't belong to one of those churches, you can't be a part of this. So we'd love anyone who has a passion to serve in this way to jump in, whether it's to do some hands-on things, mm-hmm. or if they have things to donate to this project. We will talk with you and see how we can work together on how this can be. And I should also mention First Presbyterian, though they don't have a room. You know, they're a sister church of Trinity. We work together on a lot of things. And they, the way they're serving is they have space that they allow, you know, for those chairs that are donated, for those bigger items that, okay, maybe we don't have a spot for them now or it's in the works, but, you know, we can hold things at First Presbyterian. So we thank them as well for being part of this.
Yeah, for sure. Lots of people coming together. I think that's something that can unite a lot of us is, you know, we don't want homelessness in our communities. We want to make sure everyone that lives in the community is housed and is able to, you know, be a part of the community and whatnot. So
exactly. I do have one other thing left to say, and that is that we now know what our funding is from the state for this next biennium, which is wonderful, and we will be putting out ads for security personnel. This isn't security in a uniform with a gun. This is security who monitors and reports and just keeps an eye on things. Please watch Indeed if you think you might be interested in being a security person at CareandShare. You get to know a lot of great people. You get to see a lot of success stories, and it's a very, very important role.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's another thing that a lot of people would be interested in. I'm sure you'll get some applicants.
I hope so. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a very interesting and fascinating place to work. Mm-hmm.
So before we finish up, Leah, do you want to talk about what you might be on Valley Talk coming up?
Oh,
in a couple weeks.
Oh, coming up. I'm like,
the listeners a little preview.
Sure. I mean, the way it's connected to Hope Center is that collaboration, right, and community. And so, you know, Riley Stroot and some other youth leaders in the community, in the churches, and myself have been on a few different times. And so coming up, we'll be talking about our Common Ground event. We do have one in the works for July 19th, so be looking for that. But we'll be on in a couple weeks to talk about what we have offering for our youth in the community.
That'll be a fun conversation. But if that's all that you two have to talk about today, we can go ahead and wrap this up.
All right. Thank you so much for having us, Cam.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. That was
Leah Winjum and Jane Freeman of the Hope Center Project. And that was our June 30th Friday edition of Valley Talk.